Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering. Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 69 responsively. Surely for your sake I have suffered reproach, and shame has covered my face.
I have become a stranger to my own kindred, an alien to my mother's shoulder.
Zeal for your house has eaten me up. The scorn of those who scorn you have fallen upon me.
I humble myself with fasting, but thou hast turned to my reproach.
I put on sackcloth also, and became a byword among them.
Those who sit at the gate murmur against me, and the cowards sing songs about me.
But as for me, this is my prayer to you. At the time you have set, O Lord, in your great mercy, O God, answer me with your unfailing help.
Save me from the mire, and not let me sink. Let me be rescued from those who hate me, waters.
Let not the torrent of waters wash over me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Do not let the pit shut its mouth upon me.
Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind, your great compassion turns to me.
Hide not your face from your servant. Be swift and answer me, for I am in distress.
Draw near to me.
Our second reading is from Romans. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher nor slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. We have survived a pandemic, but its toll on us still lasts. Quarantining, wearing a mask, following rules are just a memory away, still a reality for many of us. Even worse was the rut we got in, not going out, isolating ourselves, watching life pass on screens instead of in person. Depression lingers. Sometimes you start feeling a little sorry for yourself, and you pick up a magazine with a picture on the cover. Well, I picked up a magazine, and there on the cover was George Clooney. His hair sort of tousled, touch of gray, a boyish grin, carefree. I was thinking I look a little bit like him. You laughed too long on that. Don't you think I remind you of George Clooney? Ruggedly handsome, rich, man about town. I started thinking I was maybe more like George Clooney than I had noticed. I remember, though, going to a wedding, an outdoor wedding not long after this, where I was a guest, not the officiant. So I decided to go kind of casual, like George would. Not a suit, but a pair of tan pants, I thought, because the magazine said George wore tan linen pants, not a suit. And mine were about the same color, and it was sort of made out of some kind of cotton with plastic woven in, but, you know. And I wore a dark coat, and that's what George was wearing. His was made out of silk, and mine was, well, you already know, it's kind of cotton with plastic sewn into it. And I did wear a stunning terracotta-colored tie, and I knew that because the tag said terracotta-colored tie. And I accentuated the ruggedness that I could from my perfectly tanned face and my toned body, and I was really kind of surprised that day how much like George Clooney I looked. And I was going to meet a friend at the wedding, a young woman in her 20s I'd worked with and who was going to be there early and save me a seat. So I sauntered up to the usher and said a seat was being saved by
by a friend of mine, and he said, oh yeah, she told me that I'd recognize you, and it's true, you do look exactly like Santa Claus. He said, Santa Claus, don't you just hate reality? All I wanted was to be like an actor on the cover of a magazine, you know, somebody who is famous and important and admired and valued. I guess there are times we all feel that way. We all want to have some assurance that we are valued. We want to know we matter. And the kind of the underside of that, though, is a fear. We live with that nagging feeling that we just might be insignificant. But even worse, very seldom do people around us tell us that we matter to them. Very seldom do any of us hear the words, you are important to me. People never tell us enough or strongly enough that we matter. And it's that very same feeling and that same fear and dread, self-pity even, that the disciples have in that story this morning. I mean, imagine, here you are, one of the first followers of this radical prophet who's telling you that you are to go out and do the work and live the life that a Christian, a follower of Jesus, should live. Because your life matters and you are needed to live that way. But you can't help that think you're not him, and you start feeling afraid, wondering what difference can your actions or your life really make to the world. And yet three times in this reading, Jesus assures us, three times he tells us that you are not to worry, not be afraid, that your value never has and never will come from the world, but your value comes to you from God. Jesus says, you heard it. Are not sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will, and even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. So whatever we do, standing at a sink and washing dishes, changing endless diapers, fixing broken cars, teaching, working in an office, going to school. No matter what it is, God says that it is valuable. It does make a difference. Your life matters. You matter. Now, wouldn't you think if God tells us this is true, that we would believe it? No, we're much more likely to let our fears overrule God, more likely to want to know what the world says about us. What is Facebook saying today? How many likes do we have? More likely we want just to have some kind of proof or evidence from someone else. So I tried to think, was there a time in my life when I really felt that I was living that life that Jesus called me to, living a life connected to others, others who would appreciate me and can affirm me, and where I would be able to do that others in a community. And the earliest example that came to my mind was when a church youth group told me that. Now, you see, growing up, my church experience was a little varied. I went every Sunday morning with my mother to her church, the Church of Christ, and every Sunday evening, I went with my father to his church, the Southern Baptist Church. They wouldn't go to each other's because they each thought the other was too liberal. And on Wednesday nights, because you had to go on Wednesday night, I would just alternate between the two. But I ended up feeling kind of halfway, you know, kind of sort of like I would fit in, but not really known or valued or cared about because I really wasn't in a place where people knew how to do that. And then I met a girl. I fell madly in love with a Presbyterian girl. So on Sunday afternoons, I got to go to the Presbyterian Church youth group. And that's where I noted a difference right off. The main difference was that they ate pizza a lot. I mean, we sat on the floor in circles a lot. We actually talked to each other, and the youth group sponsors were terrific. I mean, there were this older couple. Looking back, I think they're probably mid-20s. And from the perspective of the time, they were old, and yet he let me call him Max, and she let me call her Jean Alice. I mean, like they cared, and we were friends, and the most amazing thing of all was that Jean Alice was going to have a baby. I mean, I think people in the Church of Christ and the Baptist Church have babies, but I mean, she was just pregnant right there in front of us all the time, and she liked it, and she talked about it, and she told us how she felt. And I remember that one of the most special events happened right before Christmas when their baby was born, and it was a little girl, and they named her Holly. I mean, they named her Holly at Christmas time. I thought it was the most wonderful thing I had ever heard. And when the mother and the baby went home, I went with the youth group, and we sang carols for Holly. It was amazing. It was a holy night. And afterwards, you know what we did? We ate pizza, yes! But here's what's important about that story. Was for me, it was a time when people knew that their value came from being God's people with one another and in trusting God and in living out a call from God and actually loving one another so powerfully that we all knew that God loved us. I mean, their love shone through so strongly that I was shining as well. And I knew my value as a part of a community of faith, and nothing could have been better. And that experience stayed with me long after I graduated from high school. I went away to college hundreds of miles away from where I grew up. Got married. My wife and I decided that we would find a church to go to together. And we knew we'd found the right place when we joined a church and they asked us to be the youth sponsors. I remember one summer that there was this conference. It was four states that got together and had youth all come and meet on a college campus. And they divided all the kids into different small groups. And so I was a leader who had a group of 14 kids in this group. And on the first day, I sat around in a circle on the floor, and we introduced ourselves. We learned our names, and one girl introduced herself, and I said, "Wait a minute, were you born the week before Christmas? And is your father's name Max? And your mother's name is Jean Alice? And I love your name, Holly." And it was the first time I had seen her since that first Christmas. I had no idea what had happened in that family. And so that first day of camp, I just stood around and stared at her. I don't think I said anything too embarrassing, like, "I remember singing on your front porch when you were in diapers." But I did try so hard to be for her what her parents had been for me. And I tried to be the church for her, just the church that loved her and cared for her. And you know what our little group did the last night we were together? We ordered in pizza. I mean, we had pepperoni, we had mushroom, we had the supreme. It was overwhelming and overflowing. Not just the pizza, but the love, the care, the connection. It was a time when I knew that my value came in being God's person. Jesus brought us a message to fear not. We have a value that comes from God. We matter. So I'm not ever going to be George Clooney, just me. And you're going to be just you. And yet, we have been touched by so many people in this Christian community who give us value, and in the same way we touch one another, often unknowingly, never seeing the full results. I mean, maybe 15 years later, maybe 50 years later, maybe we don't see it at all. Yet within the hands of God, all of those things we say and we do every day matter when we live lives of value, of importance, and of meaning. God values us. We matter to God. And finally, that's all that really matters. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.